Our call to worship today comes from 1 Chronicles 16, and it says, "Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations and his marvelous deeds among the people. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise." So join us now as we do just that and bring our praise before the Lord.
God of glory, majestic.
child of God. This past week was camp week for a lot of our Kids Hope kids. They went out to Camp Geneva, so tell us a little bit more about that. We're going to have Sue come on up.
Good morning. It's been a long time. Am I on? Okay, I'll talk loud. I'm good at that. As you all know, I'm really good at talking until I get up here. I think it's on. Okay, thanks. Good to be back up here. It's been probably a year and a half since I stood up here. When school closed last year, Kids Hope kind of came to a stop. And for me, that was really sad. I didn't know what was going on with each of the families, and I worked really hard at trying to talk to teachers via email, and I could go into the school, and the principal was there and a few teachers, and once the kids went back into the school, I couldn't do that anymore. So I didn't give a lot of updates what was going on with that, because basically we were just kind of in a holding pattern. But hopefully with school starting again this fall, we will be able to get back in school. We'll know in August. But what I really want to share about is Camp Geneva. 2 years ago, we sent the first group of kids out to Camp Geneva, and it was really a cool experience for all of them. And the highlight of that was riding back in the van with Ruth and I and just listening to the stories of these kids. So this past 2 weeks ago, tomorrow, Monday, I picked up 8 kids, and we started at 6:30 in the morning so we could get out there at 8 o'clock in the morning. 2 moms, 8 kids, and myself. And dropped these kids off, and first little boy getting out of the van had never seen Lake Michigan before. Jumps out of the van and just stands there. And he's like, wow. And his dad had told me he had never seen Lake Michigan before. So that was pretty cool to watch, just that in itself. But, you know, dropped them all off, left one boy there who I prayed over all week because he has a lot of anxiety, and I worried I was going to get a phone call to come pick this child up. But he made it through the week, and it was cool to hear his stories on the way home. So then Friday night, Lynn Benjelink and I jump in the van and drive back out there. And she kind of stands at the van, and I put on my running shoes and go to 8 cabins and just keep bringing them back to her. And we get in the van, and then the stories start. I say, well, just give me one highlight of each of you, from each of you of the week. And right away, this little McKeevian in the back says, I learned a lot about God this week. And I don't know if you know this, but our church does give each of the kids a Bible who doesn't have one when they go out. And I said, well, what did you learn about the Bible? And he goes, well, my counselor taught me a lot about God. And he goes, we looked in the book of John and the book of Luke. And I was like, okay. So this little head pops up in the front, my little Slater friend. And he said, we studied the book of Luke. And he said he had to show me, my counselor had to show me how to use this book. Most of them kids have never used the book. So that was just a really cool experience. But other things we heard about is polar bear swimming. And if you don't know what that is, they'd get them out of bed at the crack of dawn. They'd all run out in Lake Michigan in that cold water and freeze and run back to their cabins and get dressed for the day. A couple of them said they learned how to swim at camp this week or that week. What else did they tell me? Their favorite foods are lasagna and dessert. Every night dessert was awesome. Some of them had s'mores for the first time. Swimming in the pool, but I think the biggest one for me is just the learning about God. With Kids Hope, you know, we get to have them here at Christmas time, we have a year-end party, and we can give them little glimpses of God, but they go out to this camp for a week, they're in the Word every day in their Bible with their cabin mates, they pray, and it's just really cool to know that that seed has been planted, and where that seed will grow, we don't know, because these kids move on so much. I'll have kids 1 year, the next year their family will have moved. But I just want to say thank you for supporting these kids, just for allowing them to go to camp. Some of them would have stayed all summer if they could. They wouldn't even come back. They just love it out there so much. And now as the next year does start up, please pray for me. It's a lot going on just trying to figure out how to get everything started again. But I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much from these kids and from myself for just supporting them.
And thank you, Sue, for all that you do. That's no small effort to get 8 kids to get all the waivers and all the paperwork turned in and then go out and pick them all up and make sure that they're there. It's a big effort, and we're very grateful, because this is a really cool thing. And so for all those who make that possible, we're just so grateful for the opportunities that that creates. A couple other announcements is that, probably about 4 weeks, we have our Backpack Festival. This is where we, as a church, we just hand out backpacks and school supplies to anybody in this area. So whether it's families in needs or whether it's just families that we are connected to. And so we are looking for volunteers to help out with that. So there are sign-up sheets in the back. There's also, we're also in need of backpacks and school supplies. And so if you're willing to go pick some of those up when you're out and about over the next couple weeks and drop those off, that would be a big help. Kids and parents, there's no kids worship going on right now, but there are activities bags in the back, so at any point you feel like you want to grab an activity bag for your kids. And also in the far back, there are some snacks and some activities in the far back area over by the tables, and so if kids are getting a little squirrely and you need to take them out, feel free to just go make use of that gym area. There's some stuff set up over there. Today's offerings, the first offering is going to be for the Ministries Fund, and the second one is for Mission India. India is having a huge outbreak, a second outbreak of COVID, and so we are going to do a special offering for Mission India over the next couple weeks. There's been a $2,000 match donation from the deacons, and so any offerings that we get, we'll match that and we'll put that towards relief kits for Mission India. So a relief kit will provide a family of four enough food for 4 weeks. And so any ways that we can help take care of the physical needs of the kids and the families of India, all in a way to show them the spiritual needs that they have, this is our way to support them. So today's second offering is for Mission India. We also want to let you know that we have a group of 29 people that are going to be heading out to Colorado this week Friday. So this week Friday, we're going to take off, head to Colorado. We're going to spend some time doing some volunteer work, but we're also going to spend a whole lot of time biking and hiking and whitewater rafting in Colorado. So it should just be a tremendous trip. We cherish your prayers for this. And so I'd like to sign up, have some prayer partners assigned for everyone on that trip. If you're willing to be a prayer partner for somebody on this trip, there's a sign up in the back of church. In addition to praying, if you have time to write out a card this week and drop it off to the office, and then we can just give those to the students as the week goes on, that would just be a huge help. So if you're willing to be a prayer partner, we'd love that. But just also just kind of keep this group in prayer. We leave on Friday, and we'll get back the following Saturday. So next week we'll be gone all week. So your prayers are certainly cherished for that. And then before we go over for prayer, just a little update on Audrey Gazan. This past week, a week or two ago, Audrey had some stents put in her heart, and her body is not accepting those. And so they are trying to figure out what to do next and try to figure that out. So we want to keep Audrey in prayer as well. So let's go before God in prayer. Dear gracious God, we look out and we know that you are so worthy to be praised. We read your word and we look back on our life and we know that your faithfulness is so true and so dependable, and we're just so grateful for all that you have done and for all that you continue to do in our lives and through the people of this church. God, yet even though we know that you are faithful, we know that we struggle and we have hurts and we have trials, and we just pray for anybody here today that is going through something. We pray that your faithfulness will be seen and that they can look back on their life and know that you will help them through the tough times that they are facing now and will face again in the future. God, we pray that you'll be with Audrey Gazan and just grant her body healing. We pray that you'll be with the doctors, the nurses, and grant them the wisdom that they need to know how to move forward. And we just pray above all that you'll grant her health and healing. God, we're grateful for all the kids that were able to go to Camp Geneva the past week. And we just pray that you'll just take what was planted in their hearts this past week, and we just pray that it will just grow into something beautiful and strong, and that this will just be a beginning point of this journey. That they'll continue to want to learn more about you and grow closer to you and claim you as their Lord and Savior. God, that's our prayer for those going to Colorado later this week. God, some of them know you, some of those know about you, but we pray that each and every one of them will come back knowing you on a very deep and personal level, that they will commit their lives to you, and that this will be a week where you show yourself to them so powerfully that it will carry through the rest of their lives. May they know that you are alive and that you are true, and that you are the one who authors all of the beauty that they're going to see around them while we're in Colorado. We pray for safety. We pray for your leading and that you'll go before us every step of the way. God, we pray for our brothers and sisters in India. We pray that you'll bring relief and that you'll bring healing to that country. And God, right now we pray that you'll step in and help them with their physical needs as they are sick and as they are hungry. And we pray that you will take care of their physical needs. But God, above all, we pray that you're through those efforts, we will be able to tend to their spiritual needs, that they will see you as alive and working, as you as the only hope that they have both for this life and the one to come. And we thank you for Mission India, the people that work with Mission India, and the pastors that are part of that ministry. And we just pray that you'll help them in this process, and may they be your hands and feet at this desperate time. God, we thank you for the healing that you provided Christy Van Kuyken, and just pray that you'll be with her in the ministries that she does in Africa, and we just pray that you continue to work through her in the beautiful ministry that she does there. God, we pray for our church and the direction that we're going. We're grateful for the pieces that are falling into place, and we just pray that we will be a church that is faithful to you. May you continue to bring the right staff and the right people into this place. And above all, may this building exist for you and your glory alone. May we serve our neighbors. And may your kingdom be done here on this place and in this earth, just like it is in heaven. And God, now as we open up your word, we just pray that your spirit will speak to us. God, we know that you are here, and we know that your spirit is alive, and we just pray that we will be able to hear what is being spoken today, and that it will go deep into our heart. And God, we still pray for Deb and Jim Koch and Bill and Karen Winnegar as they still mourn the death of the parents that they love so dearly. Hold them close during this time. And God, each and every one of us, whatever life brings, we pray that you'll walk with us every step of the way. And Lord, all this we pray in your precious name. Amen. This time we have Pastor Dave Balicki leading us in God's word today. So Dave, thank you for once again being willing to lead us here today.
Oh, it's good to be back at West End, to see so many familiar faces and friends and brothers and sisters. It's good to be with you all this morning. If you'll open your Bibles this morning to 1 John. This is a pastoral epistle that the Apostle John has written. 1 John is near the end of the New Testament, all the way back. 1 John, we're going to be reading out of chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. If you read the entire letter, and really letters, because there's 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, if you read all of those letters, you'll find that John's style in these letters is very refreshing, especially in this day and age, where you'll hear some people say, well, you know, there is no objective truth. You know, you might have your truth, and I might have my truth, and that other guy, he might have his truth, but there's really no one truth. Where John, in his writing, helps us to understand that, yes, there is truth. there is God's truth, and that is the only truth. And then he makes it quite clear, too, that there's a big dividing line between truth and lie, the truth and falsehoods, things that are made up, lies, deceptions, and that there's a clear distinction that the Holy Spirit makes to us, that yes, this is true, yes, this is right, and no, that is not true, and that is wrong. You'll find that through all of his letters that he writes. But we're going to read just a very small portion here, focus in on chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. So follow along with me, please. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is even now, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. That ends the reading of God's word. This will be our text for the morning. You can probably already hear that, yes, this is the spirit of truth. No, this is the spirit of falsehood. See, John makes it quite clear. He puts that very distinct dividing line between truth and falsehood. In verse 1 of his letter, the Apostle John addresses the believers in the churches that he was overseeing in his day as dear friends. John was about to have a heart-to-heart talk with his friends. You see, God had placed something very important on his heart, and he knew he had to share it with them and with us. His friends in these churches were in danger of being lured away from the truth by messages that they had been listening to from men that he described as false prophets. The problem that John became aware of was his friends were not testing every prophet's message against the truth. So what John wanted them to do and to be able to do is to tell which one of these prophets were lying and which ones were telling the truth. A very important thing for all of us to be able to do. When John states in this verse, "Do not believe every spirit," he is referring to a spiritual being that has been given, that has given this person a message. We must understand that there are many demonic spirits that have gone out into the world and have spoken to many people who claim to be speaking on behalf of God. As believers, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and likewise, he speaks to our spirit. And the huge difference, of course, is that demonic spirits always speak lies. Let me repeat that. Always speak lies. Why, the Holy Spirit always confirms that the Word of God, the Bible, is the truth. That is why John refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Truth. And so when people claim that their messages are from God, how do we know that it indeed is from God? How can we be certain that it is the truth? Well, John states we must test every spirit, and we must do that because there are many, not just a few, but many false prophets that have gone out into the world. And that is true not only of John's day and age, but of every day and age, and even today. These false messages by these false prophets go on, and they'll go on even to the end of this age. In the day in which we live, many teachers and preachers and self-proclaimed prophets describe themselves to be inspired by Almighty God. And perhaps you have maybe also heard some of them say with much gusto, I have a special anointing from God. So having made these claims, the listener can easily presume that whatever is about to be said has got to be the truth. He's got a special anointing. So I better listen up, because this is it. This is going to be really good. Beware. John is saying beware, and I'm saying to you, beware of those who claim to be inspired or claim to have a special title such as apostle or prophet. Very often, their messages are accepted without any testing. Beware. False prophets are not always easy to spot. If all you're looking at is the external part of a person, like if you're looking at me to see, okay, well, you know, well, he's got a jacket on, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, got a blue shirt, you're looking at maybe my hair, oh, yeah, he's an older guy. If you're just looking at the external part of a preacher or a teacher, you're not looking deep enough. You're not listening to what's coming out of their mouth, and you need to listen to what's coming out of their mouth. You see, these false prophets are ravenous wolves dressed, if you will, in sheep's clothing, but they are deceivers and they are liars. And what we need to do is expose them and refuse to listen to their messages. But here's what happens all too often in churches today. The silent evaluations made by pew sitters of these teachers and preachers have nothing to do with comparing what their message is against the word of truth. Instead, their messages are evaluated differently. Let's turn a minute to Paul's letter to Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, I want to read verses 3 and 4 to you. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Now this is a letter that Paul has written to a young preacher, and he's giving that preacher some godly instruction and godly advice and warnings to what to be aware of. In verse 3, he says to Timothy, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. That happens all too often. Now back to John's letter, moving on to verse 2. In that verse, John calls us to critically test the teacher or the preacher by discerning whether or not they acknowledge that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. The test is whether or not that preacher or teacher acknowledges the doctrine of incarnation. Now, you probably have heard that term before, acknowledge. Let me elaborate just a little bit on that, because it's more than just a proclamation of a doctrine or a reading of the scripture. That is just to say, okay, I'm about to read to you something from the Bible. That is not an acknowledgement. An acknowledgement is to not only read what is true, but to believe that it is true. That is an acknowledgement. I'm not only going to read to you and proclaim to you what is in the Bible, but I'm also going to say, this is true. This is God's word, and it is eternally true. That is an acknowledgement. Now, if they pass this first test of truth, then they are speaking on behalf of God. But it's only a first test, because if we read further into John's letters, he wants us to make other tests. And so I'll give that to you as a means of extra curricular reading later on this week, is that you would read, please, the rest of John's letter, because there you will find some other tests that are important to make when you are listening to a preacher or a teacher speak a message. In verse 3, John identifies the spirit that is behind the lies as the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is even now already in the world. And this spirit, I must tell you, has traveled all around the world. No matter where you go, every pulpit, there's somebody speaking, and sometimes you will hear the spirit of an Antichrist. During my time thus far in the ministry, there have been numerous occasions where people have asked me about what other religions and what even other Christian denominations believe. They'll often then ask me, after I explain a little bit to them, they'll say, well, is that true, what they believe? How can I tell if what they believe is true? Well, the test that I tell them to use in order to determine if they believe what is true or not is quite simple. I ask them to go and just do some personal research into their beliefs and find out who they say Jesus is. I tell them that the answer to this single question will determine whether or not what they believe is the truth or a lie. You don't have to read a big, thick book about what the other religions believe. All you need to do is ask that one simple question. Who do they say Jesus is? You remember that Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say I am? Well, some of them answered, well, some say you're this guy or that guy. And then Peter answered, what did he say? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The biblical Jesus Christ is the great dividing line between truth and lies. And right now, the world is attempting to erase that line between truth and lie, between what is right and wrong. But Jesus Christ cannot be erased, no matter how hard anyone tries. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus says this, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So all of these lies, all of these falsehoods, all of the deception, all of the false prophets, all of their messages will pass away, but Jesus Christ and his truth will never pass away. Glory to God. Now the reason why I have to say the biblical Jesus Christ is because John says that there indeed are other Christs that are being presented. They are false Christs, and he calls them antichrists. Indeed, there is one antichrist. We could put a capital A on the antichrist. That's coming, yet future. Some of you, I understand, have been reading and studying the book of Revelation. Well, in there, you have read about the antichrist. But John says there are even small a, if you will, antichrists that have come in the world, and they're here. They've been here, and they're going to continue to be here until the antichrist shows up. Now, that prefix, when we hear the word antichrist, we have anti, A-N-T-I. Well, we use that quite frequently in lots of different words. Antifreeze makes our cars run and the engines don't fail, for example. The word anti certainly does translate into the word opposition or opposed to. And so when we hear the word antichrist, that is a person who is opposed to the biblical Christ. An antichrist then will always present to you a false version of Christ. However, beware, they will not come out and say, okay, everybody, I am now going to present to you a false version of Christ. So listen up, you'll really like him. He's a charming fella. He'll give you whatever you want. You need a new car, need a new job, need a new hairdo, need new clothing, need more money. Just listen up now as I'm going to present to you a false Christ. You won't hear that. You won't hear them say that. No, what they're about to do is they're about to deceive you by presenting a counterfeit Christ in an attempt to pass him off as a genuine article. So that begs the question, how can you spot a counterfeit? Well, the simple answer is this. You've got to know what the genuine article is, right down to the fine details. Have you ever thought, golly, he gave me a diamond ring. How can I know that that is a genuine diamond? Well, you have someone examine it. I mean, really examine it. Someone that knows what a genuine diamond is. And they will be able to tell you, yes, this is a genuine diamond, or no, it's a fake. But that person cannot tell you, is not able to tell you, unless they know what a genuine diamond is. For example, you know, the $100 bill in our currency has been one of the most prolific counterfeit items that's come out around the world. And that's why if you look at a $100 bill, you'll see some extra security measures that are taken that are supposed to foil the efforts of counterfeiters. Because think about this. Every counterfeiter, if you're going to make a counterfeit, you're going to go to great lengths to try and make that counterfeit appear and look like, seem like, feel like, smell like the real thing, aren't you? You're not going to take a piece of paper and a crayon and try to make a $100 bill, are you? Oh, no. If you're going to counterfeit that $100 bill, or you're going to counterfeit a diamond, or counterfeit Jesus Christ, You're going to go to great lengths to pass that person off, that thing off, as the genuine thing. And so you've got to know who is the biblical Jesus Christ. You've got to know your Bible. You've got to read your Bible. You've got to know who Jesus Christ really is. Because there are many, as John says, many false Christs that are being presented in our world today. In verse 4, we have good news. We have good news. Here is the good news: that all believers in Christ have living inside of them the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit. And He is the Spirit of truth. And the Spirit in truth, the Spirit of truth who lives in you, is greater than the spirit of falsehood who is in the world. He can tell you who the genuine Jesus is and who the fake Jesus is. He can tell you whether or not the message that is being delivered is the truth or whether or not it is falsehood. And again, just to emphasize this, that there's no middle ground. The world would like to tell you, well, there's shades of truth and there's shades of a lie. No, there's truth and then there's lie. Now, often the devil, what he loves to do is he'll take a little bit of truth and a little bit of lie and mix it together. But when you take a little bit of truth and a little bit of lie and you mix it together, it is a lie, isn't it? It's a lie. Often when people attempt to deceive you, they're just not going to tell you a outright blatant lie, are they? Because you're going to think, oh, I'm not going to buy that one. that's a lie. Oh, no. They're going to kind of, okay. They're going to shade things for you or attempt to do that and pass that off as the truth, aren't they? You've had that happen to you. I've had it happen to me many times. Con men, as they're called, want to gain your confidence by saying, I am speaking the truth to you. We have to beware, because there are many of these people in the world today. So we're left with verses 5 and 6 of our passage. And so let's focus on those two verses. When a teacher or preacher presents a message, the spirit behind that message will either be the spirit of truth or the spirit of falsehood. And the spirit of falsehood, if it is that spirit that is speaking, the world will buy that message, hook, line, and sinker. Oh, that sounds really good. I need the healing. I need the money. I need whatever our sinful nature craves. And the false teacher, the spirit of falsehood, will say, I can give that to you, and I can give it to you right now. But all you got to do is, when that offering plate comes by, you got to sow a seed. Have you heard that? I've heard it. You sow a big enough seed, well, then you get a big enough result. All kinds of messages, I'm sure, that you have already heard, that you have discerned to be false. Realize that it's the spirit of truth that is living inside of you, that is informing you that this is not true. And if there's any doubt or any wonder about whether or not it is true or not, then you go to the Word of God, because that is the truth and the only truth. So we're left with this thought. We have the Word of God that is the Word of truth. Jesus Himself is the ever-living Word of truth. And that Spirit that lives inside of us, the Holy Spirit, He enables us to know this truth, not only know it, but to believe that it is the truth. And as a result, We can reject all lies. But it's up to us to take the time to discern instead of just have it streaming into our minds without any checkpoint. John says we need to stop and listen and discern whether or not it is the truth. And the Holy Spirit and God's Word will help us do just that. What a wonderful blessing the Holy Spirit is to us. That He's there inside of us, He's always with us, and no matter where we go, no matter who we listen to, or even what we read in other publications, He will be able to help us know whether or not that is the truth. And if it isn't, then we reject all falsehoods. We reject all false prophets. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that there's a lot of messages, both oral messages, messages on the radio, messages on the television, messages in books that we have read. What is the truth, Father? What is lie? We're so grateful that the Holy Spirit says to test what we hear, test what we read, to know whether or not it indeed is the truth. We're thankful, Father, that you have enabled us to do this. In Jesus' name, amen. receive this blessing. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. And all God's people said, amen.
Have a good week. Go in peace.
Lift it up.